This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Is there comparisons to what's happening with this club as the same thing that World Rugby got involved with the Fiji side?
Yep.
You see how well they did in the World Cup.
Yeah.
That's our hopes, right?
Absolutely. Yep. So I think that's, thank our Fijian friends that, you know, them stepping into the Jura probably proof of concept with their Rugby World Cup performances. So I think there was an appetite to, with the opportunity that MLR presented us, to see how we could leverage the same opportunity in the US. And I think, you know, that's their openness to work out how to bring a nation up really helped us out. Yeah, the Jura model into Super Rugby is, you know, absolutely, we saw the proof in the pudding. So now this is sort of our Jura of how can we create the anthem to sort of do the same thing.
Welcome to US Rugby Happy Hour Live. Interviews with the biggest names in American rugby.
The New England Free Jacks, Major League Rugby Champions.
One-on-one to score!
Here are your hosts, Bill Baker and that other guy.
Hey, other guy.
That's me.
I'm liking that, man. We should have shirts just says other guy.
The other guy.
Rugby Morning. There's no John Fitzpatrick anymore. Just other guy.
Other guy.
You have to say it like that too, yeah. It can't be other guy. It's other guy.
Are you making fun of my voice, Bill? You said I don't have a deep voice?
Anyway, so next thing, let's... No, I get mine's a little deeper just because I'm clogged up a little bit and maybe I got a cold. I don't know. It's okay. I can't get you guys sick, so this is good. So listen, good show today. Like I said, during our pre-show research and discussion, we decided not to bore our listeners today with us two talking about the weather and our voices a little as much. So we're going to dig right into it, Fitzy. I think the first thing we need to do is, geez, did you hear my voice? It's like the Brady's. I don't know if any of you remember the Brady's, but the old Brady show. Was it... Anyway, I forget it.
You're dating yourself myself. There,
Bill. I know.
Tom Brady?
Right. No, not Tom Brady. All right, before we get into it, listeners, please like, subscribe, or follow this show. And copy the link and show with your friends. You know, send a link to your friends, even your enemies. It's okay. We want everyone to watch. Also, reviews really help the show grow. Any 5-star review, we'll read it live on the next show. Be nice. That's all I ask. Allow us or follow us on social media and visit eaglesoverseas.com and Rugby Morning for more. All right, let's do it. Our guest is actually the second Australian we've had on the show over the past couple weeks. Next week, we'll start our string of Japanese guests when we get to that. So let's all welcome U.S. Rugby General Manager of High Performance, Tamara Shepherd. Hello.
Hi.
How are
Thanks
you?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. Where are you dialing in from? You out in Colorado?
I'm in Charlotte this week.
Oh, so, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's probably where you're going to be for a while, huh?
Yeah, we'll spend a bit of time down here.
What's going on down there, huh?
The anthem?
Yeah. And hopefully some warmer weather. I know it's not hot, but it's nice.
Yeah, it's been great. So, I mean, we've got the anthem started training this week, so there's 28 players in. And it's just, yeah, good to see this short runway we had to get this up, to see the players on the field, the coaches out there. And, yeah, it's real now. We're
up for running. Yes. Yep. There's no turning back now, right? All right. So, Tamara, let's get into it. Let's look at your background a bit. You know, I was doing our research, swimming, rugby, netball. I'm going to ask you later what netball is. but anyway, congrats on your gig with U.S. Rugby, USA Rugby. You did spend a few years overseas in high performance positions like swimming Australia. Spent a little time with Queensland Rugby years ago. You know, what made you want to come to the U.S. and take on this role with USA Rugby?
I think it was the opportunity to live overseas, but also to take something and grow it into a home games. Like, I've seen the power of what Sydney Olympics did, you know, to my passion for sport. Like, you know, so the opportunity to take rugby, the ultimate team game, and take it and, you know, see a team that can perform when it matters, you know, to inspire a community to come with us. So we've got the LA Games for the Sevens program, and then we've got Home World Cups. Like, you know, the opportunity to take the four national programs and really drive that performance mindset and that performance approach. It was a bit like, if not, why not? Why not now? So yeah, it was sort of, and to come back to rugby, I've, you know, spent time, like you said, netball, which I can explain what that is later, basketball and swimming. And swimming has been great for the last 6-7 years, but the chance to come back to team sports is, yeah, probably always been my passion. So it was the right time, right place. And yeah, here I am.
So GM of high performance, how long have you, when did you officially start in the role, and tell us, how's it going so far?
Yeah, so I started in December, and obviously my husband and I moved across to Denver. So coming from the Australian summer into the US winter in Denver was a little shock to us. But, yeah, we've sort of settled in well. But I've had a chance to spend some time in Chula with the Sevens program, and now I'm out in Charlotte. So, yeah, it's a real priority has just been getting to know the people. But what's really grabbed me is just the passion and drive, and the talent we have in the community to sort of pull this up together. So I can see it's a complex, it's a big country, but you know, the will and the way is there. We just have to connect the dots to, you know, deliver on the day.
Absolutely. And excited to dive into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Speaking a little bit more about yourself, you're one of the few women in world rugby in a role similar to yours, GM of high performance. Is that something that drives you?
I've always been about the job and the performance. So I was the first female high performance director for Australian swimming. I think I'm obsessed with the process to deliver performance. I probably don't see my gender as that. I'm driven to do like that. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's why I go to work. So, I acknowledge that I probably am the first in a way, but it's, I'm confident I'm here because I'm good at what I do. And yeah, I probably don't think about it much, to be honest.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, I'm happy. You know, there is that saying, you can't be what you can't see. So I think if I'm setting the way forward that, you know, there's more women in high-performance leadership, I'm happy to play my part in any way I can.
Yeah. Yeah, taking a look at your job responsibilities, it's probably a big, long list, right? It's like, where do you begin? But I guess talk a little bit about – what is your role in, say, improving like the structure of the game here in the U.S. across all the four teams that you mentioned, right? Men's and Eagles, 15s, and then the Sevens programs.
Yeah, so I think my job's about giving a platform for our coaches to succeed. So some days it's removing barriers, some days it's supporting, other days, you know, it can be hands-on. It's about culture, behavior of the team, but ultimately the goal is with the four head coaches to create a really clear high-performance plan and vision, and start to define what is the Eagles way. what is the Eagles' way of how, you know, what you should see when a national team takes the field, and what we, and then how do we transition that through the pathway. So that's the, so the day-to-day, yeah, supporting the coaches, but ultimately, like I always, people will hear me say, it's 70% of my job is the here and now, and 30% is making sure that, you know, the strategy and the future of the game and where high performance sits is kept an eye on.
You know, before we actually, let's jump into why you're in Charlotte right now.
Yeah.
Anthem Rugby Carolina. Before we get into the specifics, like I know you mentioned players already. I know we probably can't talk too much about individual players, but before we try to get you to talk more about that, you know, let's talk about how the team came about. You know, yeah. Who was it? You know, who was the brainchild behind it? USA Rugby, World Rugby, MLR, you. You know, who brought this up? Why? And also, what's the purpose of the club?
Yeah. So first and foremost, there was always a long-term vision. Well, not long-term. I think the goal was for us to play or get some structured games in the MLR, you know, 2025 beyond as we go ahead into qualification. It was really clear in Scott Lawrence's sort of vision and that integrated pathway that he drives that we had to find meaningful games for this group of players to give us a foundation for the home World Cup. And then my understanding is when a couple of MLR teams pulled out, there was an opportunity. But I think it was driven equally between US rugby, world rugby and MLR collectively to find this solution to sort of accelerate the timeline to have a team this year in MLR. And to be honest, when I landed and we started talking about it, I was like, 6 weeks, 6 weeks to do something. And wow, here we are in Charlotte. So it's been, you know, a phenomenal amount of work with Jonathan Atkinson, Scott Lawrence, you know, Brendan Sparks, like everyone in the high performance team who's had a role in MLR before, like Oscar, Darren Coleman, like we've got some great people, we've got some great experience that collectively pitched in to bring this to life. And yeah, here is the anthem. So it's sort of gone from the boardrooms down to practically delivering it now from there. But it's, you know, the opportunity's huge to have a group of American athletes play 16 games in a full-time training environment in Charlotte to develop them and their game, and you know, the behaviors of being a high-performance athlete is an absolute, you know, foundation and absolutely worth probably the long hours and, you know, the sleepless nights of everyone collectively trying to get this up and running.
And I may be answering my own question here, but from the outside, from a fan's perspective, right, it seemed like the deal to bring this team together happened so quickly and surprised fans, right? And again, yep, you had nothing to do with the two clubs and MLR to leave the league, but 6 weeks, is that's how long it took to really just like, okay, let's do this, and now here's the club?
So yeah, and I think from what I understand, there was no one said no, and I think the MLR was really passionate about collaborating and working with us, and World Rugby moved quite quickly to be part of the solution. So I think it's one of those stars and moons, the tides aligned, and this was able to be, you know, pulled off. I'm sure the people who've been in the daily meetings and, you know, trying to make this work, I mean, we've got a long way to go. We've still got this team into a stadium, sell tickets, you know, get a game up and running, but it's still like, yeah, it's been impressive to see the will and the collaboration of World Rugby and MLR, and I think it shows USA Rugby's relationship with the MLR that's, you know, evolving, and how can we continue to sort of grow that.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, speaking a little bit about those relationships, right, because it's a very interesting mix of this, right? MLR, USA Rugby, World Rugby. Does it, in your role, do you feel like there's some complexities in the governance structures for USA Rugby and kind of have everyone plays nicely together, right? To put this together. And I guess in your role, how does that, what's the impact for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. At the moment, I think we've been given the space to set up an environment for athletes to perform, coaches to coach. You know, it's not impeding on what's going on in the performance environment. That's really important. And I'll probably give credit to MLR, USA Rugby and, you know, World Rugby that they've given us that opportunity to create that environment and those resources. I'm sure, you know, this is, we're building a plane as we're flying it, which is, you never sort of want to be that way, but this is where we're at, and you know, we've got so much IP within our staff on how to drive this from a performance part. We've got great partnerships with USPC in Charlotte. The resources and the environment here in Charlotte is world class. Like it's from what I've seen traveling around the world, this is a great setup. In my view, my role, I can solve the performance things, how many athletic trainings we have, how do we set that up, those structures. But I think we've been able to really create this in the way, the vision of what we know works, and translate some of the Eagles workings down too. So Scott Lawrence has had a big part to play in making sure it's structured that we're not creating something that's not aligned to the national program as well.
Now you touched on this a little bit earlier, but say off the field, not coaching, whatever, who's responsible, who runs the team, who owns the team? And is it maybe the thought that in a few years from now, maybe even after the World Cups in American soil, that there'll be maybe new operators? Or is that just like, this is just a U.S. side that's in MLR? So who actually operates this team?
So it's a collaboration between MLR and World Rugby to run the team, and USA Rugby sits in that performance space. So whilst it's pretty clear, we're still working it out. How do we day-to-day work on things? Because eventually, we'll need to engage with the community, sell tickets, and performance and commercial have to meet. How we do that. So it's still a work in progress from now. So our focus has been getting our coaches and athletes in, getting them on the pitch, making sure they've got the best support around them. It's a day-to-day, to be honest. It's a day-to-day as we work through those big questions.
And then speaking of the players in the field, you said there's a number of players training now, which is great. Got a little over a month for your first match. Without talking about player names, can you discuss the makeup of the side? I know there's been names online about some on loan, say one from the Free Jacks, whatever else.
Yeah.
But can you give us an idea of like the makeup of this team? Are all 28 USA eligible? Is there a certain age group involved? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So we've got 28 athletes here right now. The goals have probably 8 internationals in the mix, but we've definitely, Brandon and Scott have worked hard to target the right individuals. So the internationals that have come in to be that role model and part of that next generation's journey. So it's a very targeted approach around the internationals. Like we're not going to sign, the best under-20s players, the best under-20s player from Australia. This is about getting the right internationals in to be with these players. So I don't probably have the age breakup. We haven't announced the roster yet, but, it's exciting to see the younger players in here. And this, and part of this group, we hope, will be playing a home World Cup one day. So, definitely we've not put an age limit on it. We're not saying it's an under-25s team. We're looking for the right talent that needs this opportunity to, ultimately be better Eagles.
Wait, so are you saying that you possibly have a list of Australians who also qualify for USA in your back pocket?
No, I do not. I use that as an analogy. Okay. I think Australia's got their own stuff to sort out. So, yes, no, I don't have a list of those players. Bad example.
All good. What can you tell us so far about the coaching staff, how it's coming together? You may not be able to name names, waiting on announcement, but are they coming from USA Rugby? Are they coming from other MLR clubs?
That integrated pathway model, we've been able to use the Hawks to transition some of the Hawks coaching across to this team. So it's not a reset or a refresh. It's just a continuation of something we did last year. So you'll see probably a lot of the names and faces that we saw around the Hawks last year involved in the team, but that's still coming. We're still chasing visas and getting people in and doing that. So I think once we get in the position to name the team, we can announce the coaching staff as well.
Yeah, and I guess part of that, right, the anthem is all about developing, young American talent on the field.
Yep.
Could it also be a concept to develop domestic coaches and, say, high performance personnel, right? It's like, hey, if we're gonna focus on the field, let's talk about who's coaching the players and how are we training them and preparing for them? That's all
part of it. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, if we can, we want to develop a program that ultimately helps US, you know, US rugby win when it matters the most, which for us is World Cups. For the U7s program, it's the Olympics. But if we can do that, we can't only develop athletes, we've got to develop coaches at the same time. Like, coaches are real, are absolutely central to this. So, you know, what you learn in coaching games week in, week out, more than you learn from a textbook, so a practical, you know, learning environment that, you know, we have to turn around week in, week out is great for everyone's development in the group.
And what about, Jesus, there's my voice again. Looking at, I mean, like I said, you have a little over a month until your first match. Looking at, say, general manager, operations managers, et cetera, more off-field roles for the team, you know, how far away are you for that? Are you the GM of the team? You know, where are you with that?
So if I am the GM of the team, no one's told me, so I don't believe so. probably have a discussion with you people. No, that's all in train. So again, it's an MLR, World Rugby, will make up, you know, predominantly the governance and how it runs, and USA Rugby sort of slots into that. But I think it's been about, you know, getting it up and running, and, you know, rightly so, the focus on getting the players signed, the coaches in, and I think sort of that's the next phase that's coming through. So I'm eager to work out how we performance continues to integrate and work within it, but I'm sort of confident the way things have moved and the engagement we've had, where we'll sit with it. But no, I'm not the GM of this franchise.
All right, write that down. Breaking news, not GM.
That would add like my job description.
Right. Okay. So team's established, or the team is going. We're playing this season. Excuse me. Is there a goal or a time frame for you, USA Rugby, to be able to calculate a success rate of the team? Is there, you know, what would be success for this team? Is it a young kid coming through, making the senior side? Is it just developing young talent overall? You know, what would be the main goals for this side?
Yeah, success? There's everyone loves to measure on win-loss, but I think it's how we measure the process of how the team gets there. So, yes, it's the acceleration of talent to play for the Eagles. It's the ability to be the best expansion team in the league, but it's also to measure our progress across 16 games. I was really fortunate my time in basketball that the women's basketball program was based on this sort of model that for 20 years, the Australian Institute of Sport school age program played in the professional women's league in Australia, and that was a big part of their development. So I know, you know, longer term you'll measure it in the season, but longer term you will see, you know, these athletes come through to play and be impact players internationally, and that's the pathway. But it's the grounding in having that 16 games and that regular in and out season for their learning and development that you'll see that progress through. So we hope, you know, I hope to be having, you know, a beer somewhere watching the World Cup eventually, and to say, yep, we saw those players, or we were a big part. The anthem was a big part of their development, you know, to have that impact on that world stage. And that's the goal. That's why we're here doing this.
You know, we were looking over the schedule and couldn't help but notice that the anthem, their first match is against the reigning champs, the New England Free Jacks. Was that just the luck of the draw, or did the anthem want to take on the champs right out of the gate?
No, I think it's luck of the draw. I mean, we've got to play them at some time. So, yeah, this is where we're at. We know, we're bitten off. It's a big opportunity, but it's a big challenge too. So I think everyone's aware of that. So we can't hide from anyone in the draw. So off we go.
Absolutely. Wanted to we've covered MLR and Anthem a little bit. I'm sure we've got more questions, but I did want to move on and talk about some of the other programs. Let's start with the Women's Eagles 15s. Mm. We had the new head coach, Sione, on last week talking a little bit. I guess, talk to us a little bit about, what the performance pathway looks like for the Women's, the 15s, over this next year.
Yeah, so the Women's 15s will come together in a camp, and then they'll go to Pac 4 and then target Women's XV later in the year. We're working with World Rugby and the partners that we think it'll be into September, October. So, you know, a chance for us to have 8+ games this year if we can get them in there. But I think, you know, the women's program is such an opportunity for us to grow and develop the systems and structures that we're learning in here now, and how do we translate them to the women's game. But, you know, the priority right now is more time in training, more quality time with Sione, developing team cohesion, team culture, team standards, and starting to build that up to a World Cup. And then, you know, we've got to continue to work on that, you know, that strategy, system structure piece. You know, how do we, you know, one day have, not one day, but how do we soon have a domestic league here that our players can stay home and play in? So, you know, the hope is once the anthem's up, what does that next phase look like? How do we build the women into this too, that to some way have a, even if we start with four teams, it's a start, and we've got to continually push the progress to give them that opportunity to. So it's, yeah, I sort of, it's chicken and egg. Do you want more time together or more competition? We have to be ambitious and say we want both, and we have to build that for the women as well.
Interesting. Yeah. And could that potentially, you mentioned, you know, professional domestic league, working with the WPL or a foundation upon the WPL, or is that still in the works?
I think, to be honest, this will probably show, you know, a month, 6 weeks into the job. We've got to talk about...
You don't have it all figured out.
It's working out what everyone's roles and responsibilities are and what the capability is. We don't want to compete and do this, but who's the best vehicle to give the best environment for these women to be professional athletes? So that's what we've got to work out. And then, yeah, there's always going to be a role for a league to push in and push talent up. Like, you know, you don't just create a four-team league and poof, we're done. There's going to be many places I've probably learnt from watching, you know, other countries, other systems, multiple ways to enter a pathway and not have a pathway that's really narrow is really important. You know, so everyone has a role to play, and that's part of that strategy and that long-term work. Like, how do we have those conversations? Like, how do we fit in with PR7s or PR7s ads? How does that league add? So that's, it's a small task, but we've got to sort of start having those conversations to how all the pieces move together so our athletes have every opportunity to enter, have a great experience, and ultimately become Eagles.
A couple more questions for you tomorrow, but I want to step back for a second, ask you about the anthem again. Is there comparisons to what's happening with this club as the same thing that World Rugby got involved with the Fiji side? I think the Fiji Drew, I believe, is the name of the team. So is that – and that really worked out well for them. You see how well they did in the World Cup.
Yeah.
That's our hopes, right?
Absolutely. Yep. So I think that's, thank our Fijian friends, that, you know, them stepping into the Jura probably proof of concept with their Rugby World Cup performances. So I think there was an appetite to, with the opportunity that MLR presented us, to see how we could leverage the same opportunity in the US. And I think, you know, that's their openness to work out how to bring a nation up really helped us out. So yeah, the Jura model into Super Rugby is yeah, absolutely, we saw the proof in the pudding. So now this is sort of our Jura of how can we create the anthem to sort of do the same thing.
All right, last two. I got these kind of light questions for you. Maybe this one's not as light, but I know you mentioned earlier just the thought of coaching, getting back in the rugby was important to you because with your early years with Queensland, but United States, you know, again, 10 years ago, I think it was when you were with Queensland, right around then.
Yeah.
You know, U.S. barely on the scene as far as World Cups go. And of course, we've had our ups and downs. Women's program's been doing great. Any thought you would ever be working in this game in America?
No, so I sort of joke, I've spent most of my career trying to beat the US in basketball and swimming. And I'm gonna tout my own horn that we did beat the US in swimming in Fukuoka 6 months ago. So to sort of finish with that win was pretty sweet. Been chasing that my whole career. So to now wear the US gear, it's an adjustment. But no, it's to be honest, when I worked at Queensland Rugby, sevens wasn't really a thing. It was something you did in the off season. Women's rugby was there, but not really. So, you know, to come back into the game and see, you see the growth and the profile that Sevens has as part of the Olympics, what women's 15 is able to do and where it's going on this, you know, this momentum around women's sport. It's just an exciting, it's exciting to be in a program that has four great teams to see where they can go. Because when I was at Queensland Rugby, it was all about the Reds, and rightly so at the time. You know, club rugby was playing Sevens and had a women's league that I will admit I played in for about 7 games, and I counted down every minute till it was over. wasn't for me, but I love the social side of it, if I'm honest. Social side was great. So, yeah, it's just, I think, you know, the game's come so far, and I think the adjustment that, you know, I mean, I didn't realise probably when I was at Queensland Rugby that US rugby existed. So, but, yeah, it's got a huge profile. Like, the program at Chula Vista is world-class, what they do there, like the training environment, what we're trying to do here in Charlotte with USPC. There's so much enthusiasm and goodwill to see us sort of grow. We've just got to take all of it and push it in the right direction.
That's great. I've got four rapid fire questions. Okay.
Oh,
have a little fun with this. Okay.
Oh,
vacation. No, not for you though. Vacation spot, beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Okay. Baseball or cricket?
Cricket.
Okay. Basketball or netball?
Basketball.
Oh.
Michael Phelps or Ian Thorpe?
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. If your Wi-Fi kicks out now, that'd be what I understand.
You know what? I'm going to say Michael Phelps. He's the GOAT. I don't know how, and having, you know, been immersed and lived in that swimming world, how he did that, how he won multiple events, you know, semi-final, plus the drug testing that the swimmers go through, and that's, you know, part of the job. But it's a phenomenal schedule. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to say Michael Phelps. Like, Ian Thorpe is a hero in Australia and, you know, phenomenal talent, but Michael Phelps is the GOAT. That is something else, what he did.
So I have two good friends of mine have their daughters, each have a daughter. One swims for Georgia. The other one swims for, I think, Alabama.
Yeah.
And as far as collegiate swimming goes, it's hard to do better than those two programs. So, and these two families, I just want to share a story with you. They don't know each other. I just work in different realms, and now their kids have competed against each other and at that multiple levels. So, yeah, and that's a whole other world that you're going to be getting into as well as, like, collegiate rugby and everything else. I'm sure you're like, yeah, okay, I'll figure this out one day.
I think I had a lot of experience with colleges with basketball because, you know, a lot of the men, it was a really well-supported pathway for Australian men to go in, you know, Patty Mills, you know, Matthew Dellavedova, like we saw – although, you know, Ben Simmons, when he plays, came through those pathways. But for the women, it was a little bit different, but we did support, like, there were over 300 Australian girls playing college basketball. So, got, you know, when we'd come over to see the WNBA and visit our players, like, got a real interesting insight into college basketball. And still, I've got a lot of friends who coach in college basketball, coach in the NBA, so sort of always sort of am aware of it, but I think working out where rugby sits in it is, you know, the next sort of challenge. But I'm excited to see how college can help pull us up as well. Like, as I said, you don't want a pathway that's so narrow that you're cut off, so college is, you know, a huge opportunity for us as well.
Absolutely. You know what? That's all I got for you tomorrow. What do you think, Fitzy? You good?
That's great, man. Yeah, we learned a lot here today. Yeah.
Nothing else? You don't have a story about your kids who swim? Okay, that's fine.
I do swim lessons on Friday night, Bill. I'm trying.
That's the pathway.
That's it. Tamara Shepherd, thank you so much for giving us your obviously busy time down in Charlotte. We're pulling for this team. We'd love to see what this team can do.
Yep, thank you, and thanks for having me. It was great.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Bye.
All right, that's some great information there, Fitzy. It's good to hear, especially from Tamara, who's got all the knowledge that we would want from somebody. So I'm pumped about this team. I hope they do well. I hope they can compete this year in MLR. And I'm pumped to see, you know, these players progress to that next level.
I mean, I'm amazed at, you know, how funny is it, you know, Tamar gets off the airplane. Hey, welcome. Now we need you to help start up a professional rugby team and put him in MLR in 6 weeks. So,
yeah,
you know, kudos, you know, the timeline, right, is probably from the outside, again, from the fans' perspective, it seems like super short. And it was, but they've seemed to have pulled it off, right? The MLR and USA Rugby and World Rugby have got together. We've got the team. There's players. There's 28 of them training. The coaching staff's going to be announced soon. There's a logo. There's a name. Good, bad, indifferent. There's a 12th team in MLR. So I marvel that they were able to pull it off, and excited for it, really. Yeah.
And I really think that we're going to hear a lot, even this week or next week at the latest. It got to. I mean, like I said, it's a month until the first game. So it's you got to start hearing something. And I'm also glad that Scott Lawrence is not the head coach of the team, or won't be. I just couldn't imagine how he would be able to get out and about and, you know, and do his gig. All right. And with that, man, let's call it a day. This has been a great show. We you know, it was great to have Tamara Shepherd on. She's I'm trying to get the graphic here for us because we got to talk more. again, great resource. And we should talk to her again soon. For those of you listening in, again, please like, subscribe, and follow this show, and copy the link and share with a friend. Also, reviews really help the show grow. Any 5-star review, we'll read it live on the next show. Follow us on social media and visit Eagles Overseas and RugbyMorning.com for more. We will see you next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.